I'm Matt Manicharian, and I'm joined here by John Shirley. We're both from Sports Info Solutions. John, are you able to share the screen?
Perfect. Should be good, right?
Yep, looks great. Okay, so as I mentioned, I'm Matt, he's John, and we're here to talk about modeling injury risk using in-depth injury data. John and I are both from Sports Info Solutions. We work on the R&D team together. And just so you know, I'm going to tee up a little bit of what our injury information looks like, what the data that we gather actually entails, because you know the model is only as good as the data. But then I'm really going to kick it over to John, and he's going to explain something really amazing that he's created using this injury data. So to start it off with the next slide. The comprehensive injury data collection began in 2015. And actually, Joe Rosales of Sports Info Solutions, at the time it was called Baseball Info Solutions, was here presenting on that injury data just after we started collecting it. The idea of the data is that any event on or off the field that could have an impact on the player's health would be recorded. So whether that's something that happens on the field that's as innocuous as a foul tip going off the catcher's mask, that would get recorded. Obviously, if the player's stretchered off the field, that gets recorded. And then say he slips in the shower or anything else that might happen off the field, that'll also get into our injury database. So we record all the information about the injury event as it happens, and then we add the updates in the time that comes after that so that we know the full scope of how the injury played out. In terms of a nice, clean little process flow here of what happens, it's that in-game injury collection that I talked about, which is really useful because we can learn things like what the exact pitch that an injury happened on, how the injury occurred within the play of the game, any sort of information about the weather or the stadium that the game occurred in. All of that stuff goes into our in-game injury collection. And for that, like many things, we rely on our video scouts who are chronicling all of that with our many passes of the data that we do. The second element is the comprehensive compilation of injury reports. So this is essentially scouring the internet. Everything from the initial, from the official injury reports, and of course, things that end up on the injured list, but then all types of things that don't make it to the injured list. A lot of times people think of injury data as just being IL stints, but the data that goes into injuries goes much deeper than that. And so we're looking at things from everything from beat writers and everywhere else to get the most comprehensive compilation of all of these reports. And then finally, the third element and something else that I think makes it really special is video review by our in-house kinesiology expert. So our expert, John Veros, he looks at every single video that's tagged by our scouts. He can go straight to the pitch where it happened, watch the play, and be able to triangulate the data that he's getting from these media reports from online, along with what he sees with his own eyes, to be able to give really accurate diagnoses, prognoses, so that we get a really good picture of exactly what's going on. So as you see, those three elements combine, and at the bottom, we get clean and thorough injury data. And the best part of all, I think for us is no duplicates, which is a real blessing. So in terms of the type of information that we collect, there's kind of two general columns here that I've separated things into. So this isn't exhaustive, but it gives a general overview. On the left side is the things more that we're collecting during the games that the video scouts are tagging. So type of injury, how did it occur? Did it occur while he was running to first base? Did it happen because he got hit in the with the ball in the side? What's the type of the injury? How did it happen within the scope of the game? The second thing, the general region of the body. Was it his leg? Was it his core? Was it his arm, et cetera? Along with that, the specific body part. This gets into the metatarsals and metacarsals and all of this sorts of fancy terms that I'm not very familiar with, but John Veros is an expert on. And so he's making sure that we have the most specific body part that goes into there. And then our initial severity rating, which is on a 1 to 5 scale and basically says a 1 is, like I talked about before, that foul tip off the mask where the catcher doesn't even show a reaction. We record that, but we'd mark that as a 1 because there wasn't a significant reaction on the play. You know, if the player's getting carted off the field, having some sort of a compound fracture, that would go in as a number 5 on the injury scale. And we keep a consistent definition for each of those 5 ratings. So all of that goes in on the initial pass. And then on the right side here, you see some of the things that our injury expert really specializes in and makes sure that we have the most accurate information on. So the diagnosis, what is the actual injury? What, you know, is this PCL, MCL, LCL, ACL, all of those different CLs? John is straightening those out and making sure we get the right diagnosis there. The prognosis along with that, what does the recovery timeline look like? What is the path to recovery? What's going to need to happen between now and then? So how significant is this injury going to be? Along with that, the grade for certain injuries, like I mentioned in ACL, there's a big difference between a grade 1 ACL sprain where you're having just minor tearing and then a grade 3 ACL sprain where you're talking about a full tear essentially. So understanding the grade, the treatment. Most injuries are treated just by rest. Eventually, you come back, but it's important to understand when there's a surgery or some other sort of treatment that's being involved. That again, helps us just understand more about the full scope of the injury. And then finally, 2 things that we've added over the time since we began collecting this, the days missed. So how many days was it before you were able to return to play? And then the recurrence. And recurrence is something that we just put in within the last year. And that indicates if an injury is literally a recurrence of a previous injury that player has suffered. So that's not explicitly considered within our model. John will talk about it a little bit later. The model is powerful and it has the ability to understand if a body part has been injured multiple times. But in terms of specifically attributing recurrence with our injury expert, that's something that we'll be building into the model in the future. And then just some summary statistics before you get into the real juice of what John's going to talk about here. Oh, since 2015, so 2015 through 2020, we had almost 35,000 total unique injury events. So that's a combination of the in-game injury events, anything on that 1 to 5 severity scale, or any reported injuries. So things that might have happened off the field that we're getting information on. Again, of those, about 30,000 were in-game injury events, and the most common injury types all seem to have to do with getting hit by the ball. So again, this isn't incorporating severity, so a lot of these might be the lower severity types of injuries, but hit by a pitch, struck by a batted ball or bat, and foul off the body were the 3 leading types of injuries that occurred. In terms of injury regions, it went to the lower body where most of the injuries occurred. The ankle, foot, and toes was the number 1 most injured region by a pretty significant margin. But then you also had the lower legs and knees, the head, and then the arm and elbow with the heavy emphasis on pitchers in that particular injury. So without further ado, I hope you have an understanding of what the sort of injury that goes into this model that we're going to talk about is. But now I'm going to turn it over to John, who has put together something that I think is really special in terms of a use case for this data.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. So as Matt showed kind of in that last slide, generally how we've looked at our injury data in the past, it was mostly summarizing injuries and grouping things by the injury type or the body region severity, even player positions. We've also done some work with the games missed, by player and team and all that kind of stuff. But mainly all of that has been looking into what has happened and describing each player's injury history. But over the past few months, we've been attempting to answer the question of what will happen in the future by projecting injury risk. To do this, we utilized our full database of charting data, just every data point you could imagine with our charting data, along with that in-depth injury data that Matt described. the result we were looking for was a single metric or set of metrics that decision makers can gain actionable insights from. These models, creating these models connects kind of all the dots and handles all the intricate interactions to give us that actionable insight. So once we have that actionable insight, what can teams do? What can people do? What can anyone really do with this information? Right here, we'll look kind of at the two main things that we think teams can do with this information, but there's a lot of uses outside of teams with player, playing time projections, any type of analysis. For teams, the two main factors are roster building. You can make smarter free agent decisions, smarter contract decisions, and you can also look at injury prevention. Load management is a term used mainly in basketball, but basically scaling back if a guy has a real high injury risk. You could also kind of focus on a specific body part or body region with physical therapy or other prevention methods. So the first thing we wanted to talk about with these models is what are we actually attempting to project? Because it's one thing to just say injury risk, but what does that actually mean? Within our models right now, we're looking at any physical injury that requires a stint on the IL or a recovery time of at least 10 days. We chose this threshold because it's a relevant injury duration. You know, that's a significant time missed. You're going to miss a couple games. It's going to require kind of a reshuffling of your lineup, all that kind of stuff. So it's a relevant duration to look at right now. And it also it was a short enough time frame that it doesn't limit our data set to only long-term season-ending injuries that would really lower our sample size to look at with these models. So talking about our models, we didn't just build one single model. We built multiple models. We separated out by pitcher and hitter. It was the main kind of separation, obviously, for the inherent differences between responsibilities. Pitchers were looking more upper body, arm injuries, that type of stuff, where hitters were looking at basically the entire body. They could, you know, injure really anything. We also looked at multiple timeframes. We built models to look at, you know, what is your injury risk within the next week, within the next month, within the next 2 months, over the rest of the season. And then we also separated models out for specific body regions. For pitchers, we focus really on shoulder, elbow, or any other arm injury. For hitters, we broaden the regions out a little bit more for a lower body or leg injury, a core injury, or shoulder and arm were combined as one. But I did want to mention within those models, we do get more specific with our inputs. So say for the hitter shoulder and arm model, we do have inputs in there for, you know, specific regions, even within that body region, like a wrist in, you know, how many wrist injuries has he had? How significant were they? How many elbow injuries versus shoulder injuries, that type of stuff are kind of within those broader body regions. So the methodology we used, the first thing we did was determine a relevant injury threshold, which I talked about. The data we're basing these models on is from 2016 through 2019. I'll talk about a little bit later why we didn't use anything from 2020. We separated the data into a train and test data sets. The models we used was XGBoost models, which are a machine learning model that allows us to really get at the intricate interactions between all of these inputs that we created and put into these models. And then we evaluated our models by how well they calibrate to actual results within our test data set and the area under the ROC curve. And I'll talk a little bit about that later on of why we chose those. So the next couple slides, I'll talk about the inputs into our models. This slide is talking about kind of how we separated out an injury history within both pitchers and hitters models. These are relatively similar, or basically similar, between both pitchers and hitters within all our models. We separated inputs into, you know, how many relevant injuries has a player had over multiple time frames. So we have within, you know, how many relevant injuries has he had within the last 3 months, the year, last year, last 2 years, over his career, all those types of things. We did the same thing with minor injuries. And then the days missed and games played since last relevant injury kind of gives us a time frame of when was the last major injury he's had? And, you know, has he played a lot of games since that? So maybe it's not really a factor, or is he coming right back off of something that's a pretty major injury? And then, as I mentioned earlier, we separated out to specific body region injury history as well. And we also included expected days missed in there over different timeframes as well. We also included some usage and playing style metrics, as well as that injury history that I just described. For pitchers, we really looked at appearances and pitches thrown, again, over different timeframes within each model. So we're talking like, you know, how many pitches has he thrown over his career over the last, you know, year, 2 years, 3 months, that type of stuff. We looked at repertoire. Is he really reliant on a fastball? Does he mix it up a little bit? And all that type of stuff. And then we had a couple of velocity metrics in there. You know, how fast is he throwing? How fast is he throwing his fastball? How fast is he throwing any other pitch? All that type of stuff. And then we also looked at some change in velocity metrics. How has his fastball velocity changed over the last, from his career average to the last 100 pitches he's thrown? Just kind of get a good sense of kind of how fast he's throwing. We also included a metric that is basically close to max. And it just looks at how often he's throwing close to his career maximum velocity. And then for hitters, we looked at games played, innings played by position, kind of separated out between outfield, catcher, corner infields, middle infield, those type of things. And then the bottom three metrics here for the hitters is really what we kind of bring with our charting data, is descriptive defense, play difficulty are kind of intertwined. We look at every play that a player makes and we describe kind of how he approaches the ball. Is he jogging? Is he sprinting? Is he diving or sliding? Kind of how is he playing in the field? And then play difficulty is a 1 through 5 scale. Basically a 1 is, you know, ground ball right to a guy. A 5, I believe, is an impossible play, but 4 is kind of, you know, that spectacular diving play that a guy makes. Just kind of how he plays in the field, what type of plays he's making in the field, all that type of stuff. And then a speed score is kind of our athleticism metric we put in there based off some of our timing data. So here we'll kind of show over the next 2 slides the most important inputs within each model. And right here, we're going to look at the top 15 for both the season-long pitcher model and the season-long hitter model. These 15 are not the only inputs in these models. These are just the top 15 most important that the model is really looking at. It's obviously looking at a lot of other inputs as well that separate out players. For basically all the models, the clear top important input is days left in the season, because obviously any player is going to have a much higher risk of injury over the rest of the season, you know, opening day instead of maybe 2 days till the end of the season. But then here for the pitcher model, we can kind of look at, there's, you know, average fastball velocity over his career is that next one down, kind of how fast is he throwing. Then you kind of get down into BMI, body mass index, and age, which are some biographical kind of inputs to describe the player. And then you kind of get into some of our injury metrics, the expected days missed within the last year, days since the last injury. And then kind of towards the bottom here, you'll look at some of the repertoire stuff. You know, how often does he use his changeup? How often does he use curveball? That type of stuff. So moving over to the season long hitter model. Again, you see that days left in the season is the clear most important input. But then you kind of look at speed score, that athleticism metric I talked about is the next one. And then BMI and age, again, those biographical inputs that have factors on, you know, injuries and all that type of stuff. And then the next two down are some of those injury history metrics, the expected days missed over the last 2 years, days since last injury. Then how many minor injuries has the player had within the last year? And that's just that charting data that Matt talked about, those injury events that we chart. And then kind of below that, you kind of get into where the player has played over his career over the last year, that type of stuff. And then at the bottom, you can kind of see that descriptive defense basically saying, you know, if a player is making a lot of diving and sliding plays, he probably has a little bit of a higher injury risk just because those plays are more difficult and, you know, you're kind of throwing your body around a little bit. One thing I really wanted to kind of talk about with these within these models is this interesting injury input interactions that come from it, how that these XGBoost boost models are able to kind of really get at these intricate interactions. Because within each model, there are inputs that attempt to account for the, each player's full injury history, as I mentioned and kind of went through that a little bit. And a really good example of kind of what I'm talking about here is when we're looking at future elbow injuries in pitchers, we found that previous shoulder injuries have a greater impact than previous elbow injuries. So these models are kind of able to look at a player's full injury history, all those charting metrics, and really get at different interactions that maybe aren't the most intuitive, where, you know, a guy that maybe's had elbow injuries in the past, you know, you would think he'd have more elbow injuries in the future than a guy with a shoulder injury. But those body part interactions and body regions really have an effect, and these models are able to account for that. So I want to talk about a little bit about how the model performs in this first section, kind of why we chose to look at calibration and the area under the ROC curve instead of a simple binary injured, not injured classification, where you'd set a kind of a threshold like, the standard is 50%, basically anything above 50%, you're saying like, oh, this guy's is going to be injured. Anyone below is not going to get injured. And then you kind of look at the hit rate. We didn't really want to do that here because there's really no actionable difference between say 49% and 51%. That's really basically the same injury risk when you're really looking at breaking it down. But in a binary classification, those would be two separate things. So instead we looked at how well calibrated our models are, and I'll get to that in the next two slides. And we also looked at the area under the ROC curve within our test out of or test out of sample test set. And here at the bottom, kind of we'll show the we show those scores. And within the different models, they kind of range between 0.7 and 0.75. And area under the ROC curve ranges from the metrics ranges from 0.5, which is basically random, and 1, which is a perfect model. So we're kind of in the middle there. We're better, well above random, but we're not a perfect model because injuries are have some randomness to them, and we just can't account for everything. So here's just a quick look at how well calibrated our pitcher season model is to what we would predict from our out of test sample size set data set. So it tracks pretty well with that red line. So it's pretty well calibrated. And here's the hitter one, and it's also fairly well calibrated along that line. So the next two slides will go over some quick examples from 2019. So for pitchers here, we're showing the from our holdout data set, the top five. As you can see, three out of the top five did sustain injuries. And if we broaden that out to the top 15, 10 out of the top 15 sustained injuries. And for hitters, as you can see, it did fairly well among these players with really high injury risk over the full season, where four out of the top five did actually sustain an injury during that season. A quick look at the 2020 season is, you know, we all kind of know it's a unique season, but it presented a challenge for season-long projections because it's only 60 games. So that's why we didn't include it in the model. But all the data from 2020 is included in projections for 2021. Here, we'll kind of just go quick over the 2021 projections. You can kind of look at the top five pitchers and the top five hitters here. And so the next steps within this are really look at how 2020 affects projections going forward, if it does at all, incorporate our new recurrence metric that Matt mentioned. We also want to incorporate minor league data and our all our minor league players and data into these models to look at prospects injury risk. We also want to create multiple relevant thresholds instead of setting it always at that 10 days or IL stint, maybe move it forward to how maybe a major injury that's like a season long one or a month long injury risk. And also wanted to look at expected days missed, create a metric for that as well. So we wanted to thank Sabre for allowing us to present all the SIS baseball video scouts for their hard work charting all of this data, our colleagues, Joe Rosales, John Veros, and John Dewan, and any MLB teams that help provide feedback.
Yeah, and so at this point, I think we can get right into the questions. We got a few minutes left here. So starting off at the top of the list, how long of the process is the data collection? I think that might have disappeared there. The data collection is an intricate process. So we chart every major league game and many other levels of baseball as well. And we chart the games with an initial pass that goes on as the games are being played. And then the following day, several auditing passes and different levels of data collection that overlap in various ways. So we can make sure the data is as accurate as possible, but also really cover every aspect of the game in as great detail as possible. So in terms of the injury data collection, that goes on through these levels of other data collection that happen as the scouts are going through the games. But then the process that John Barros and his team go through to really clean up all the data and make sure that our diagnoses and prognoses and updates happen, it's hundreds and thousands of hours each season. So it's really a ton of stuff that go into there. Go into a next question. A bunch on the data collection side of things here. Have you found or will you explore how recurrence affects the length of injury and potential severity of an additional injury? Also, is the recurrence just a binary measure of yes, no, or does it go into more depth than that? Okay, so I'll answer the second part of that and then I'll kick it back over to John. Injury recurrence is both a binary classification, was it a recurrence of a previous injury, and then also a tag to incorporate what the previous injury, every individual injury has its own ID and it'll tie back into that ID there. So those are kind of the two elements of the recurrence data point. John, in terms of building this into future stuff, I don't think we've checked it out yet, but once we get a few more seasons.
Yeah, it'll take a couple seasons of data to fully build that in. And then
I see another, yeah, go ahead.
I'll go ahead and take the next couple questions here. Scrolling down, kind of looking at some of the ones for the model. Basically, the question is for potential two-way players like Ohtani, Lorenzen, and McKay, how does the model, how does that affect the model you guys are developing? So right now, that is a very difficult thing for those models to understand. And they are basically looking at is if a player is solely in the field or solely a pitcher, so that it kind of doesn't really do very well with those types of players, but we will be looking into kind of handling that a little better moving forward.